Podcast with Brother Scott. We are thrilled that you have taken time out of your day to explore with us God's timeless truth. Regardless of who we are, we all need the light of God's Word to illuminate our path for this day. And now, here's our youth pastor, Brother Scott.
Hello and welcome back to the Truth to You Podcast. It is Monday, March 11th, and we have sprung forward. It is that wonderful time of year where we lose sleep. But it's okay, because you're here with us, and we're going to talk about the Bible.
Yep.
And what better way to start our day than to do that? Got Brother Andrew here, and trying to just think of some other things that are going on this week. Of course, we've got high school ODACs taking place.
Sure enough.
So that'll be enjoyable. There's probably some nervous teenagers listening right now as we inch closer to Thursday and Friday of this week. But we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in the days ahead as we get closer and closer, but you're here to hear something from God's Word, and so let's get right to it. Before we launch into 1 Kings chapter 5, I want to mention our memory verse of the week, which is 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, and great verse about perseverance here, and Paul reflecting on his life, faithfulness to the Lord. He says these words, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. One more time, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith." And I think that's a really good thought for some of our teenagers who are maybe dreading getting into the swing of school this week, right, on a Monday, like, oh, there's a fight, there's a fight. But keep your eyes on the Lord, that's what that verse is all about. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 5, and let's see here. I'll go ahead and read the verse, and then Brother Andrew, you tell us what we're going to talk about today. Okay. All right, so 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them and the stone quarters, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house."
Yeah, so today we're looking at a whole lot of building. If you look at chapter 5 there, you go through there and you see verses about these servants moving here and doing this kind of work and getting these materials. And it's talking about hewing there of logs and also of stones and all of different types of things like that. And this really was a huge project. As you see the title there, I couldn't resist.
So full disclosure here, when Brother Andrew wrote this devotional, I didn't catch the pun at first, and I thought he sent me this title, and I thought there's been a typo here. There's something not right with this. He had to explain it to me, but I got it. I got it eventually. Yes. So anyway, sorry to interrupt. Carry on.
Yeah. So really, a huge endeavor that takes place here, building the temple. And I couldn't help but notice as you go through and you see something like verse 15, it says, "And Solomon had 70,000 that bear burdens, and 40,000 hewers in the mountains," you know, bringing down rock and things like that. And then there's the officers that were over them, and you keep going down, and there's just thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of workers. They're all out bringing in stone and bringing in wood, and he's there making agreements with Hiram to get the cedars and all that, all of those different materials, and just a lot of work that's going into the temple. And it made me think about all those individual builders and their role that they had in putting the temple together. And, you know, they were doing those things, many of them, they knew that this is for the temple. We're doing this for the Lord.
Yeah.
This is our job. They're doing it for the king, Solomon, who hired them, but also they're doing this to please the Lord. This is for his house. And you really see the diligence they put into this. It talks about how they're bringing it down from the mountains and all the work that they're doing. And it doesn't talk about, mention anything about them lacking in their zeal for work or any kind of laziness. It just talks about all the work they were able to accomplish. And it made me think of today and the entitlement generation that we live in.
Yeah, and
it really is so, so prevalent. You know, these people here, we don't hear anything about complaining from them. We don't hear anything about, you know, protesting or the union getting together and not wanting to work or, you know, whatever it is. They're there. They're doing the work they know they're supposed to do to please the Lord and to please the king. And I think it's a good template for us to follow. You know, this entitlement mentality that we see all over the place, if we're not careful, can creep into our hearts and our attitudes as well.
Yeah, so true.
And it's the idea that everyone else owes me something simply because I exist.
Yeah.
You know, instead of making yourself better, whatever it might be, spiritually, or even physically in some kind of a trade or some kind of work, the work ethic, something like that.
Yes.
Instead of the attitude of, I'm going to make myself better.
That's good.
So that I can contribute to those I'm working for or working with, or even society in general.
Yeah.
It's kind of the other side that says, well, I deserve to get paid this because I'm me.
Yep.
You know, I'm just who I am.
Yep.
And it's just the wrong mentality. We don't see anything like that here in this chapter. And, you know, the mindset is just, you see it everywhere. I think about, you know, people who are content to maybe receive aid from government or whatever it is, and they don't feel any kind of inclination to help, to work, to do anything. They just are content to sit there and do nothing. They're fully able-bodied.
Yes.
So they're just content to not do anything. And this carries over into ministry as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are content to sit in the pew or sit in the activity.
Yeah.
And receive God's word, receive teaching, receive help, receive meals now and again.
Yeah.
And they feel no inclination to do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And unfortunately, this mindset is just crept in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have to fight against that. We really do. It not only are people around you not going to be happy with who you are and what you do, but you're not going to be happy about yourself either.
Yeah.
You don't have that satisfaction of completing things, accomplishing things, that sense of self-worth that you get from being profitable.
Definitely.
You don't have that if you're not accomplishing things. And this, especially for the Lord. We could talk about in the workplace or, you know, here on this earth, but especially when we're talking about spiritual things and things being done for the Lord in ministry, you know, if we're not putting out the work and sowing the seed, you might say.
Yes.
We're not going to be satisfied. We're not going to feel that sense of purpose that the Lord wants us to have in our life.
Yeah. That's great. I thought two things when you were talking, and you really, this idea of entitlement really strikes a fear that I have in regards to my children. Right. You know, I look at my grandfather, who passed away several years ago, but he grew up during the Great Depression, and he dropped out of school when he was, I think, seventh grade, maybe something like that, and he went to work, you know, to provide for his family, and everything that he had, you know, he ended up getting saved much later in life, but he really scratched and scraped, you know, to make a living, and as long as I knew him, he did not expect anything from anybody.
Yeah.
He didn't have a mentality of just, well, I, you know, society owes me this, or I'm owed this by other people or whatever. He just, he was a do-it-yourself kind of a guy. And even into his 80s, he was trying to mow the lawn, you know, in his yard. It's like, wow, look at that. And, you know, usually people who aren't given a whole lot, you know, take on that type of approach to life.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, here in Northern Virginia, we're like on the opposite end of that.
Yeah, true.
Because we have so many things that have been provided. And certainly I that's one of my fears for my children, is that they grow up just, you know, thinking that, you know, well, I need to have nice things. And what do you mean we don't have the money to, you know, buy it? Let's just buy it and pay later, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a sense where the Lord, we need to see everything we have as given to us from the Lord, and being thankful for what He's allowed us to have, and content with that even.
Absolutely.
And then willing to get our fingernails, you know, dirty and work and sort of like the self-satisfaction you talked about there. And then the second thing, very quickly, that I thought about was something that I heard another pastor say recently. I was listening to a message, and he was talking to his congregation about having a consumer mentality at church. Mm-hmm. You know, when we come to church, if we're just looking for, you know, what I'm going to be given, we'll never be able to take part in so many of the beautiful aspects of the New Testament, you know, and how the Lord is pulling us to not to be spectators, but to be workers and to be involved. And, you know, so he said that it's not that we're customers, you know, coming to a church to be given something. We need to think of it more in the aspect of an employee training center.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're not on that side of the counter. We're on the other side of the counter.
Absolutely.
And we're there to learn and to grow and to work and to serve and so that we can reach other people. And I thought, you know, that's just a really, really great approach, really great mentality. But I think it kind of ties back into your original thought of our expectation of just like, okay, do something for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Instead of those people being waiting for the temple to be done so they can go and be a part of the temple, they jumped into the work to make it themselves.
That's so great.
And, you know, in my mind, I have a little imagination and think about maybe this older Hebrew man who maybe he's in his 40s or 50s and the temple finally gets finished.
Mm.
And he walks up to worship in the temple and he looks over and he's like, that's the stone right there that I cut out of the
temple
and brought down.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much better than that.
No.
To see it finished and you had a part in that. And it's exactly the same today. You come into a ministry and you see some people that you got to talk to and now they're in church and they're saved. And you had a little part of that.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better.
It's huge.
Like just knowing that the Lord used you.
Yes.
To do something for Him.
Yes.
What a feeling, you know, not only are you going to be respected by those people that you helped,
yeah.
but you're going to have more respect for yourself.
Yeah.
Knowing that you please the Lord with your actions.
Right. Yeah, and I think about, you know, just to close this off here, but, you know, this was a very physical thing.
Yeah.
You know, they could see the progress and the work, you know, that was being put in. And sometimes we do get the benefit, right, of seeing that. Other times, you know, ministry work or people work, you don't always see the immediate fruit, you know.
True.
But I think about, you know, the analogy that, and I actually looked this verse up when you were speaking earlier, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2, Paul says this, for we know that if our earthly house, and he's talking about our bodies, our the house of this tabernacle, we're dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And not maybe a direct correlation, but the imagery here is that, you know, there are things that are temporal, things that can be seen in this life that we look at and we say we can see the value. But sometimes people work or ministry or serving others, it does something for us, but we may not see even the eternal value that the Lord that is going to impact eternity,
right.
You know, and the aspect of rewards and the things the Lord gives us that we don't deserve. But He so graciously gives us a future that we can all look forward to and get excited about in heaven. All right, well, that'll do it for today. Want to just mention our teenager of the day, and that is Marissa. Marissa's a senior, and she's got a lot of thoughts, I'm sure, in mind about the future, and so I want to ask the Lord give her wisdom for that, and that He would lead her as she looks to Him. All right, thanks for listening, and we'll be back again tomorrow to take a look at 1 Kings chapter 6. Takes care.